The Rugby Union Podcast.
Welcome to William Hill's Rugby Union Podcast with the World Cup. Now, a bit of distant memory for the Northern Hemisphere sides. They are going to resume battle as the Six Nations 2016 kicks off this weekend. My name's Michael Casey, and to discuss all of this weekend's action, as well as the outright selections, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by former England front row man, Jeff Probyn. Jeff, how are you getting on?
Very well, Michael. I'm looking forward to the games. Given the disappointments of the World Cup and the changes to each team since then, and new players coming in, new coaches coming in, we've really got a Six Nations that none of us really know how it's going to fall out or how it's going to work, but it's looking exciting.
It certainly is. I mean, you alluded to the change in personnel there. There certainly has been a lot of change, particularly at the top, if you like. Obviously, in this country, the appointment of Eddie Jones is the big news. I do just want to start by talking about the outrights. We'll drop back onto it a little later on, but with regards to the betting, England 13-8 favourites to lift the Six Nations trophy this year. Wales 5-2, Ireland 7-2, France out at 11-2, Scotland 12-1, and, well, name your price on Italy, 5,000-1 in the betting. Just on the face of it, Jeff, for a side that's had one such a miserable World Cup that obviously they want to put behind them, and so much change, not just the Jones appointment, but obviously Dylan Hartley as captain, what do you think about the 13-8 on England as favourites?
Well, if you look at Jones's selection, it's actually pretty much what Lancaster selected and what he would have selected. So he hasn't actually gone in there and made an awful lot of changes. Certainly there's a little bit of change in terms of playing style, and that's what we're talking about. He's brought in his undercoaches, people like Steve Borthwick and Paul Gustard, who have, if you like, they played with him, they've understood with him, they played under him when they were at Saris, and in some ways that does improve where England were. England weren't that bad in the World Cup. I know everyone says they were, but they only lost one more game than the rest of the Northern Hemisphere sides. And if we're honest, that game against Wales, they should have won. The fact that they gave away 10 points and then didn't take the draw, which seems, ludicrous to us now, but it was the only thing that undermined England's performance. Other than that, they didn't do too badly in terms of the way the game was played. I think that the selectorial skills that Eddie Jones brings will make this a stronger side. And, England will be there or thereabouts when it comes to the end of this Six Nations. I think the interesting thing is that Italy are so far removed. I actually think that Italy have made a number of dramatic improvements. I don't see them winning the Six Nations, let's be honest, but I don't see them being that far off of Scotland when it comes to the end.
I mean, Italy are another side who, whilst they've maybe not had the changes yet, there's certainly a lot of new blood coming into the side, 10 caps for this campaign. Of course, they are kind of seeing the end of Brunel. They're going to be waving goodbye to Coach Brunel after the end of the tournament. 4 years he's been in the job, and I guess 4 years of, can you call it progress? They've avoided the wooden spoon quite a lot of recently. I think it's maybe the week-to-week consistency that's maybe frustrating about the Italians, isn't it? One week in Rome, they're very, very good, and the next week they go away to sides, and they're a shadow of the side that played the week previously. But as you say, they're, can name your price on it. I mean, all the other five nations in the competition are relatively competitively priced. You go from Scotland at 12-1 to Italy at 5,000-1. But I mean, as you say, it's very little to no chance of them actually lifting it. But I do appreciate that is a pretty serious jump in price. So go on then, Jeff. You've given a little bit of keenness towards the Azzurri, but who would you actually put your money on if the 500-1 on Italy was maybe just a little bit too far?
It's a bit too far to bet for me, that one. But I think England, I actually do think England, they've been runners-up for a couple of years on the trot. They're there or thereabouts. I think Ireland and Wales have both, if you like, shot their bolt. Ireland have got a lot of injury problems as well, which is always slightly worrying for them. The Welsh, they've played Warren Ball for long enough now. It hasn't really improved their game. It's good for them having Jonathan Davis back, obviously, with Jamie Roberts in the midfield. They've got a certain solidity about their side, which obviously they've been playing together well for a long time. But they've kind of gone off the boil, and I think teams know how to beat them. Scotland looked great in the World Cup, but realistically, you know, how much improvement has Scotland made. We'll only know that when they play against England on Saturday. I think England, if you look at what Eddie Jones will bring, he'll bring certainty in terms of selection. He plays with, if you like, a certain knowledge of the way he wants to play, something that we never really knew with Lancaster. As much as I think that Lancaster bought some good things for England, the one thing that he didn't do well for England was to give them a defined style. None of us really knew how they were going to play, what was going on with the midfield. You know, he was unlucky in terms of his injuries. He kept having injuries in the midfield and having to bring new people in. Hopefully Eddie Jones won't have that. But even with what Eddie Jones has done so far, by bringing in Farrell with Fould, he's looking to play that two-fly half role. So he's opening up opportunities for running play with the likes of Mike Brown attacking from fullback. You see a structure in the way that he wants to play the game. And it's a bit positive. I don't think that it's going to be dramatically changing England from where they've been. So for that reason, I think that they come out as favourites.
Okay, well, certainly are favourites in the betting at 13-8. I might play a little bit of devil's advocate with you later on, but we'll delve... is my want to do so. We'll dive into the match markets now, and we start in Paris. It's France versus Italy. Maybe not the tie of the weekend, but you know, you have your starters before your main course. So we'll have a look at the betting in this one. France are 1-14, Italy 13-2. France are another side where there's been plenty of change at the top. The Philippe Saint-André era has finally come to an end. Guy Noves now at the top there, a man who, I mean, if we're talking about club rugby coaches, there's few more more successful, certainly in the Northern Hemisphere. His achievements with Toulouse are very, very impressive. But, I mean, I think the worn-out and tired cliche about France, and you never knew what to expect from them. I think if you, up until the last couple of years with Philippe Saint-André, whilst you didn't know what to expect from them, you could always expect them to be in contention at the top of the Six Nations Championships. And that hasn't really been the case for the last couple of years. Jeff, well, first of all, how do you see this game going? France are 1-14, Italy are 13-2. The handicap is 19 points in France's favour. But secondly, do you think there'll be any signs of will there be a revitalised France side this tournament under Guy Noves?
I think there will be dear old Guy, as he's called down in France.
My French will stick with Guy.
Yeah, he's been at Toulouse for a long, long time. You look at this side; he's brought in six Toulouse players into the French side. He's changed the back line. He's dropped Balestro. He's gone from the power play that Philippe Saint-André was so keen on doing, and with the likes of Spelling at fullback, and he's brought in some talented backline players, back like French used to play. When you look at the seven specialists, Vakutawa, whatever his name is.
Yeah, the winger.
Yeah, he brought him in. He's only played, he's mainly been a sevens player, seen as a very, very exciting runner. He's changed the centre partnership as well. You know, he's brought in Fiku and Benti. No place for Fofana, who we all reckon is a world-class player. So he's looking at playing a completely different style with his back line. He's brought his scrum half in, Bezzi, and he's brought Pleason in at fly half. He's changed so much about that French back line that you've got to admire it. He's still keeping big, strong forwards to play that forward rolling maul game that the French do so well, but he's looking for his backs not to be power players, but to actually be players who can look and find space. So there's a bit of excitement. I think it will take a bit of a while for France to find their form, but I do think they'll win against Italy simply because they're playing at the Stade de France. I think the Italians are also looking quite exciting with what Brunel's done. He brought in there. I mean, we all know Campanaro, who plays for Exeter, and obviously he's been playing with the likes of Henry Slade. So he's a talented player. He's very good at releasing the ball. He's got some other players around him who are good. You've got Parise, who's always there, the captain from Italy. Always a great player, always driving well. The Italians tend to do well against the French, but I think the French will win it by about 15 points.
By about 15, then. So Italy to stay within the handicap. I think a lot of what you're saying does ring true. I mean, you talk about France, it's a new head coach, a new captain, 10 uncapped players in the squad. as you say, we don't know if they're going to be good, but they will certainly be different. And they do have certain cornerstones they can rely on. The likes of Slimani, obviously a very reliable tight end now at the front of that French goal. Louis Picamole, whose form this season has been, for Toulouse, has been absolutely incredible. However, I do think it's quite an attacking side that's been named. I'd maybe be interested in just looking at the total points in the game when such a market goes live. But Plus Italy is there. Plus Italy at an 18.5 point handicap is there at 10 to 11 in the betting. With regards to the winning margin live, if you were to drop on that France by, we can have them by 11 to 15 points. That's an 11 to 2 shot, or you can go France by 13 or more. It's a 1 to 2 shot. It's a bit skinny, but obviously a much larger scope for a French blowout, really.
I don't see that. I think the Italians will be competitive. You know, Jack Brunel, he's a Frenchman as well. You know, he was coaching Perpignan for a lot of years. He understands French rugby very, very well. And the Italians normally do okay against the French, you know, even though they're playing in Paris. You know, they're going to put in a performance. They'll want to give Jack Brunel the send-off that he deserves, because they see him being very much a man who has actually made Italian rugby better and improved them. I mean, certainly from, if you look at how he took over, Italy were a pack of forwards. He's developed their back play. He's developed them into a 15-man side. So from their point of view, they're going to want to see him off with a good Six Nations and try to get two wins. It's going to be difficult because they've got three other games away, but I think they'll do okay in France. I don't think they'll win. I think French, it'll probably be something like 34-19, something like that. You know, so it's going to be that. I think it'll be around about a 15-point margin. I can't see the French running away with it. I think the Italians will dig deep and play well.
We've got a special offer in the Tri-Score betting for this year's Six Nations. It's our Try Again offer, and this is money back as a free bet if your first Tri-Scorer scores second in the game, and that is on all of our Six Nations matches. Jeff, if you were to look at a Tri-Scorer for the game, are there any that might catch your eye?
Well, you've got to go for that Vakatawa. Vakatawa, or whatever his name is.
Great effort. Varimi Vakatawa.
Vakatawa, yeah. I mean, there's a sevens specialist. He's got great skills. He's got great vision. He's pace. He's also a good stepper with the ball. And, for the Italians, I'd look at Bellini in the centre. I think on the wing, because with Campanario and Garcia in the centre, they move the ball well. Bellini's likely to, if he gets his chance, gets away, he could score a try for the Italians. But I'd go Vakatawa. Well,
Varimi Vakatawa. It's an interesting,
I love the way you can say these names.
No. Take it slowly. It's an interesting one. Obviously, did so well in the Sevens circuit. I think there's maybe a bit of a dearth of French wingers at the moment, and that's why he's got his chance. But we do quite often see players thrust into the limelight succeeding. I'm going to add Scott Spedding into the mix at fullback for the French. Moving on to matters north of the border and the Calcutta Cup game. This, for me, it could be huge for both sets of teams tournament. I am maybe a little bit more, I guess concerned might be the right word to use, about the Scots this time. Obviously an impressive Six Nations World Cup campaign, and ultimately very, very unlucky to get knocked out. With regards to the pricing for the game on Saturday late afternoon, Scotland versus England. Scotland are 13-8, England 1-2 favourites, and the handicap is 5 points. Jeff, how are you calling Scotland versus England?
To be honest with you, I don't think Scotland are as good as people say. They did okay in the World Cup, but they were playing a pretty poor pool. Yes, their main rivals in that pool were South Africa. They were always going to come second in the pool. They did come second in the pool, and they got knocked out in the quarterfinal. Yeah, they only lost by 1 point. But, you know, the thing with Scotland is they always struggle when it comes to the Six Nations, because they are the smallest team. They have less players than England. They have a hate of England, which will drive them on and give them a performance. But I expect England to win this game by 10 to 12 points, actually, to be honest with you. So I think England won't have a problem. If it fires the way that Eddie Jones wants it to, and, you know, he's got a solid set of forwards there. He's put Marler. Bringing Hartley in at hooker certainly strengthens up that front row with Cole. So they've got a decent front row out there. Cruz and Lautrey in the second row are very good players. Both are these piano shifters rather than piano players. They're out there, they do an awful lot of work off the ball, do a lot of work around the breakdowns and tackling and things like that, a lot of work that's not seen. So they're very, very good. I think the idea of Chris Robshaw coming in on the blind side, you know, let's just say all say for once, thank Christ for that. You know, that's where Robshaw should have been playing all along. Haskell coming in on the open side. It's interesting when you look at the Six Nations, we've all learned lessons from Australia with the Pocock Hooper combination, and we're all doing something very, very similar. You look at Wales, for instance, where they brought Tuprik and Warburton into the same back row. So Haskell and Robshaw in the same back row starting out for England, and the bench place going to Clifford is very much along the lines of, we want to play that style of rugby. So very much it's going to be that style of game. You can see England trying to move this ball, and I think they'll do well against Scotland. It will be a good fillip for the English side to go up the Murrayfield and win.
Okay, well, very confident selection for England. They're minus five in the betting. It's 10 to 11, as I mentioned, 1 to 2 in the match betting live. We do, of course, have winning margin betting available, and England by 1 to 12 points is backable at 6 to 5. You think it might be a little more than that, you can get 5 to 2 that England win by 13 or more points. I've got to say, I'm not sure Haskell and Robshaw give you that Hooper-Pocock sort of combination at the back row, and I'm not sure how sold I am about Farrell at 12 either. And I think that the Scottish side, I mean, we know that the Glasgow Warriors haven't been anywhere near as good this. They've had a bit of a post-World Cup hangover, shall we say, but I think that Willem Nel does a very good job with that Scottish scrum, and I think they've got a few serious ball players. But I didn't play for England, Jeff, and I bow to your superior expertise.
It's interesting to think that Scotland will be attacking England's scrum. Mm. I mean, this is something that it's just not there. But I think with Dickinson, Ford and Nell, they'll have a go. And with the two Gray brothers in the second row, you know, they're two very, very good athletes. So it's not as if they're a bad pack. And with Barkley coming back in the second row, and Denton carries the ball well, but he doesn't carry the ball as well as Vinopola. And it's that sort of thing. If you look at the Scottish players, yes, they're good players, but they're just a little bit below where the England players are. And that's why you guys are putting England in as favourites in the betting. And you know, when you look at it from an outside perspective and somebody who's played, you can see Scotland have done well, but they are so limited in players. If they get any injuries, the guys they've got coming on the field are nowhere near as good as the guys that England have on the bench. So automatically, you see, as the game goes on, England's power is liable to make an impact.
Who do you fancy to cross the whitewash on Saturday, Jeff?
Well, I think Joseph will. Certainly Jonathan Joseph, he's back in the side, he's fit now. He's not carrying that muscular injury that he carried when he last turned out for England in the World Cup. So I think he'll do well. I think Farrell playing at that inside centre role gives him an opportunity to step. If you look at the Scots midfield, it's Bennett and Scott. It's going to be pretty... It's a power play from midfield, really trying to design to stop people. And someone like Joseph, who's a very good stepper, gets a chance to score tries through those people.
Jonathan Joseph at 3-1 in the betting, and Owen Farrell a selection. That's to score any time, by the way. 14-1 to score first or last. Owen Farrell 7-1 to score any time, and 25-1 first and last. I'm going to add Tommy Seymour into the betting for Scotland at 11-4. On to the final game of the weekend, and over to Ireland and the Aviva, and a game that, it's certainly priced up as the closest of the weekend. Ireland versus Wales. Ireland 8-11, 23-20, the Welsh. I mean, this is an interesting one for me. I think you've got a Wales side that looked the most settled of the Northern Hemisphere teams. You could argue that maybe could be construed as predictable. A team that fared well in a very tricky group, and if it wasn't for a real moment of brilliance by the Springboks, could well have progressed further through. You know, Dwayne Vermeulen's offload to Fleury de Pries right at the death, knocking them out of the quarterfinals. And then Ireland, a side that, well, you know, life after Paul O'Connell begins this year, and ultimately went out of the World Cup in pretty disastrous style, 43-20 to Argentina.
43 points Argentina, wow. I mean,
injury hit, though.
Yeah, very much so, and that's where you look at it. You look at Ireland, and you know, you kind of think the Aviva gives them a chance. They're playing there. I do think this will be a close game. I think, as I said, a problem for Wales is, for me, is that, yes, they are very much a settled side, but when they first played together, this side played together, it was exciting, it was new, the way it played. It's good for them to have Jonathan Davis back in the midfield with Jamie Roberts. He gives a bit of talent. But you look at what they've done. They've put Tom James on the wing. Tom James is a powerful runner. He's another one like George North. It's all about power play in the backs with Wales. And I think that we, you know, Ireland and understand that and they know that. And if they can get their defence up well and into the Welsh faces, the fact they're playing in the Aviva, I think, gives Ireland that slight edge. Yes, they've got a lot of injuries, in, you know, and but it will mean that their back row, they're still going to have O'Brien, they're still going to have Heaslip, and CJ Stander might well get his first cap and be out there on the field. That's not a bad back row, and they will be tearing into the Welsh. It's interesting that Gatland has left Geoffrey Jenkins out of the side because of the referee. And that to make that comment, you know, with Jerome Garcia being the referee, you know, how is the referee going to react to that against the Welsh team? That's an interesting aside.
I think it's a bit clever, isn't it? Obviously, Jerome Garcia's and his interpretation of the scrum is a hot talking point after every game he officiates, but it will be interesting to see if it does have any effect on the game on Sunday. So, match betting then, Jeff. Ireland slight favours at 8-11. Is that where you're leaning, or do you think Wales at 23-20 the value play? Handicap betting, the handicap line is set at 2 points, with Wales getting a 2-point head start at 10-11.
Well, I think Ireland do have that slight edge. John Sexton's playing well now. He's back home. He's not feeling lonesome and homesick in France, you know. So that's important for them. Bigger playing for the Welsh. Yeah, they're both quality fly halves, but Sexton playing at home may drop that goal. It gives them that 2 points.
Okay, then. So 8-11 for Ireland. If you're expecting a tight game, you can, of course, drop into the winning margin live. I do like the winning margin bets. You can maybe take Ireland by 1-12 points at 6-4. Obviously, gives you a bit more bang for your buck, if you like. Try scorers, Jeff. There's you mentioned some powerful runners for the Welsh and some. You talked about a couple of the Irish backs, the likes of CJ Stander, who might get to run out. Chris Henry as well. Who would you be fancying for a score in Sunday's game?
Well, I think the boy coming back into the side, Tom James, for the Cardiff Blue, you know, the Cardiff Blue player, it's been 5 years since he's worn a red shirt. I think he's up there to be a try scorer.
Yes, we're just waiting on the prices for this to drop onto the console. Those will be available in the next few hours, I'd imagine, with all the team news dropping in as we record this. And what about an Irish scorer, Jeff?
Difficult, always. Henshaw's got, you know, he's such a powerful runner. There's going to be a lot of power going in that midfield with both sides running straight and hard. But Henshaw's, I think he might just sneak in at some point.
Very good. I'm going to put Jonathan Davies into the mix as well as an any-time try scorer. And just talking about the try scorer market, Jeff. I mean, not one to gloat, but last year we did managed to pick out a big price winner in the tournament top try scorer when we correctly selected Jonathan Joseph for England in a, I think it's 33-1. It'd be nice to repeat that feat, but we do have the tournament top try scorer betting available now. Who do you think might be a good selection for that particular bet? I mean, it's an interesting one, the top try scorer. You need to, I think, factor in various things like where people will be playing, maybe Italy and when. And it's a market that I do like because you can obviously back this market each way at a quarter of the odds. And quite often, you know, two or three tries is enough to see you land in that sort of top four places. So I think it is quite an attractive market to look at with some big prices available. Who would you be looking at as the top tournament try scorer, Jeff?
Well, as you say, it's a difficult one because if you're looking for an England player, the fact that England are playing only two games at home, Ireland and Wales this year, means that they're travelling away to France and they're travelling away to Scotland and they're travelling away to Italy. Expect them to score a few tries in Italy and get the chance there. But I think, you know, George North might be a guy to look at this year. He had a quiet season last season. Wales, I think, got three home games this year. Let's give George North a bit of a boost.
George North there at 10-1, obviously prolific international scoring pedigree, 23 tries in 55 tests, so certainly something to look at there. I think the Welsh could be on for quite an impressive tournament this time. I think they're just very well settled. And I'm going to have a look at Jonathan Davies in midfield. He's priced up at 28-1 to be the top tournament try scorer. And also, a player that I mentioned earlier, winger Tommy Seymour, who's been going pretty well for Glasgow and had a very good tournament in the World Cup. I think he won in four tries in the World Cup.
Yeah, he's a very good winger, is Seymour. You know, he's another one like Visser who plays in Scots. Both very good wingers, both very good finishers. Visser's not quite knocked back from injury, I don't think. He's been playing a bit for club, but he hasn't got back in the international rankings. He's a good player. I think he plays well. Jonathan Davies as well, coming back. I think he's worth a bet, but I think that George North has been quiet last season. Going to Northampton, as much as he says their style of play doesn't suit him, has made him a more rounded player, and we'll probably see that in the Six Nations.
There you go, George North there at 10-1, Jonathan Davies 28-1, and Tommy Seymour 33-1. As I mentioned before, you can back all of these players each way, and you can receive a quarter of the odds if they finish in the top four.
Well, I better say this, though. I'm just thinking out loud. If I turn around and said I think England will win, we better have an English name in there. So I'd say Anthony Watson. How about that?
Yeah, Anthony Watson in the betting at 9-1. So he's obviously been in pretty decent form in a white shirt he scored a few tries in the otherwise relatively unsuccessful World Cup. Jeff, then, final word. I guess one word answer. Who is going to win this year's Six Nations?
England
at 13-8. Jeff, thank you very much. I look forward to talking to you next week.
I'll speak to you then.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.